The headlines: Iran strongly condemns the UN Human Rights Council resolution against the country, calling it a strategic mistake based on miscalculations. Cities across China undergo new lockdowns and mass testing as the country reports record high COVID infections. And nurses in Britain will next month hold the first strikes in their union's 106-year history. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumi Shah Ahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Iran's foreign ministry has strongly condemned an anti-Iran resolution adopted by the UN Human Rights Council, dismissing it as totally unacceptable. The ministry said the resolution that calls for an international probe into Iran's handling of recent riots was a move by a small group of Western countries. It condemned those countries for pushing the Human Rights Council to adopt their will in the form of an anti-Iran resolution. The ministry also expressed regret that the Geneva-based council has once again been exploited to serve the interests of a small group of countries. It said the resolution was a strategic mistake made by Germany and some other Western states on the basis of miscalculations and pressures from special political lobbies and anti-Iran media. The ministry added that such political short-sightedness will ultimately harm the interests of those countries. Earlier, we were joined by human rights activist Firas al-Najim. He says that the U.S. and its allies are trying to disrupt and disunite Iran by waging a media war on the country.
You know, this is a biased media war against Iran right now at this moment, because the U.S. And its allies and puppets are all following a certain narrative and agenda, and that is to disrupt and disunite and cause major problems inside Iran, because their major issue is with Iran living a sovereign life and having sovereignty and strength and willing to fight, you know, the imperialist system in West Asia, and also to support the Palestinians. So they're all right now working in collaboration to try to weaken Iran as much as they can. They have failed miserably over and over again for 40 years, but they're trying, you know, their last few cards inside Iran right now. How come they're not rising up in the United Nations issues such as the Palestinian Holocaust, the Palestinian oppression, the Palestinian occupation, the murdering of a journalist in Palestine? How come they're not speaking about that? Is that not a human rights issue that should be spoken about and dealt with? And shouldn't the ones doing these crimes be accountable? Shouldn't they be spoken about? Why all this silence?
Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says that it has targeted anti-Iran terrorist bases in the Kurdish region of northern Iraq. IRGC forces used drones and missiles to target the positions of separatist terrorists in the Kurdistan region. The terrorists are largely involved in inciting riots in Iran. Iran has repeatedly warned Iraqi Kurdish officials to stop the activities of terrorist groups along its borders.
Iran is stepping up its ante against the positions of separatist terrorist groups in Iraq's northern region. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps has conducted a new round of drone and missile strikes against strongholds of hostile separatist terror groups in the semi-autonomous region of Kurdistan. According to reports, the IRGC ground force fired drones and missiles against positions of the so-called Kurdistan Freedom Party on the outskirts of Iraq's northern city of Kirkuk. The raids dealt a heavy blow to the separatist terror group. This is not the first time Iran pounds the positions of terror groups there. Since September 24th, the IRGC has frequently launched air raids against the positions of the terrorists who are holed up in Iraqi Kurdistan, seeking to ignite riots and unrest in Iran's western border cities. Iran has highlighted that its forces will continue their operations until threats being posed by the terrorists are eliminated and they are disarmed. Iranian military officials have also warned ordinary Iraqi people to evacuate areas close to the hideouts of separatist terrorists. Earlier, Iranian ambassador to Baghdad, Kazem Ali Sadegh, said Iran has told officials from Iraq's central government and the Kurdistan regional government that Tehran is serious about its national security after a number of sensitive Iranian military centers had been targeted from the Kurdistan soil. Iran has on countless occasions warned Iraqi Kurdistan's local authorities that it will not tolerate the presence and activity of terrorist groups along its northwestern borders, saying the country will give a decisive response should those areas become a hub of anti-Islamic Republic terrorists.
The IRGC has been carrying out strikes on the positions of the terrorist hideouts in the Kurdistan region since late September. The IRGC says terrorists from northern Iraq have recently entered Iran's border cities. They are reportedly capitalizing on the protests sparked by the death of an Iranian woman who passed out at a police station and died in hospital days later.
Over recent weeks, Iran has witnessed foreign-backed riots in several of its cities. Terrorists have seized the opportunity to instigate unrest and insecurity in the country. Just recently, former U.S. National Security Advisor Bolton admitted that terrorists are being armed with weapons imported from Iraq's Kurdistan region. Bolton also confessed that he had seen images of Kurdish forces trained and armed in Iraq. Over the past weeks, Iranian security officials have seized large caches of weapons provided by foreign spy services at its borders. Riots broke out in Iran in mid-September after the death of Mahsa Amini. The 22-year-old fainted at the police station in Tehran and was pronounced dead 3 days later in hospital.
Moving on, streets of the Chinese capital Beijing are near empty, and that is because the country is facing a surge in its COVID infections, promoting authorities to impose lockdowns. The country logged nearly 32,700 new daily cases for Thursday, and that is a daily record for 2 days in a row, breaking a figure set in mid-April. Neighborhoods are now locked down in Beijing. Shops and other businesses are temporarily shut as well. A citywide lockdown is also in place in the commercial hub of Shanghai. Mass testing has been launched again. China adopted a zero COVID policy, which was largely proved to be successful to contain the disease. Just 2 weeks ago, the government eased the strict measures to minimize their impact on the economy. British nurses plan to go on strike next month, joining tens of thousands of workers in other sectors that have taken industrial action over pay. The strike will be the first in the Royal College of Nursing Union in its 106-year history. Nurses in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland will walk out on December 15th and 20th. Their union says the government turned down an offer of negotiations, so they will hold the strike, and that is the latest in a series of strikes this year by British workers over pay disputes with the government. The workers say that they want a pay rise, and that will help them cope with the soaring prices, but the government says extra pay would further increase the inflation, currently standing at 11.1%, a rate unseen in the past 40 years. Energy ministers of the EU warn of economic disasters for the bloc in 2023 unless a plan to secure affordable gas supplies can be agreed between member states. Jerome Hughes reports.
The EU is currently paying more for gas than any other region in the world. The European Commission had proposed to cap natural gas prices at €275 per megawatt hour. The idea was totally rubbished by the bloc's energy ministers at a meeting on Thursday.
A ceiling between €150 and €200 is a realistic ceiling, and this could help us reduce gas prices and therefore reduce electricity prices.
But any sort of a cap could result in gas suppliers moving their tankers to other parts of the world where there is no cap, like Asia.
If we really see that this mechanism is designed in the way that that we will lose LNG cargoes to other international markets, then we can suspend it.
As things stand in the EU, there is no guarantee of a manageable gas price or even a gas supply for 2023.
If we cannot keep our economy running, we will not be able to support Ukraine, and we must do everything to avoid such scenario.
Those representing small to medium-sized businesses are looking for EU support amid high inflation and growing interest rates.
If we not want to fight unemployment and youth unemployment, we need to take care about the growth and competitiveness of European SMEs.
A debate in the European Parliament this week on promoting stability in the Middle East heard that the initiative would help ensure energy security for the EU. However, one lawmaker raised the West's previous actions in the region.
Leaving broken countries, hobbled economies, violence, trauma and permanent conflict. And at the end of that, we stroke our chins, pretend we've nothing to do about it and ask how we are going to promote stability in the region. You have got to be joking.
EU energy ministers will meet again on the 13th of December to try and reach agreement on the vital question of 2023 gas supplies. Analysts say this crisis best illustrates how sanctions against Russia have backfired. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Moving on, Russia denies carrying out any attacks on Kiev on Wednesday, accusing, quote, foreign and Ukrainian defense missiles for any damage to the capital city.
I emphasize this especially. Not a single strike was made on targets within the city of Kiev. Any damage announced by the Kiev regime was the result of the fall of missiles from foreign and Ukrainian air defense systems located in residential areas of the Ukrainian capital.
At least three people were killed when airstrikes hit Ukraine's capital on Wednesday. A critical energy infrastructure was targeted, and large parts of Ukraine spent the night without power and water supplies. Meanwhile, Ukraine's president blamed Russia for the strikes, addressing an urgent meeting of the UN Security Council. Volodymyr Zelensky claimed Russian forces had fired more than 70 missiles in the past 24 hours. He also urged the council to take action against airstrikes, which he said have devastated the infrastructure.
We are awaiting a very firm reaction of the world to today's Russian terror, response of our partners, response of our friends, not just observers, but a reaction from all those who really recognize the UN Charter. We're doing everything possible. Ukraine presented a peace formula. The world heard it, 10 items in order to may empower the Charter of UN and violated by Russian guarantee security for Ukraine, Europe, and all the peoples of this planet suffering from the consequences of the Russian aggression. Back to all the things.
Zelensky said the airstrikes have damaged houses, schools, and hospitals and transportation systems. Also speaking at the same session was Russia's envoy, who said it was the U.S. air defense missile supplied to Ukraine that struck the homes. He also censured Kiev and its Western supporters for their threats and ultimatums. Our correspondent Johnny Miller explained from Donetsk how the recent airstrikes have affected Ukraine.
Yesterday we saw some of the largest missile strikes by Russia against Ukrainian civil infrastructure, energy infrastructure so far. And frankly, it's bringing Ukraine's energy infrastructure to breaking point. I spoke to a contact in Kiev yesterday. She told me that previous to these strikes, there was only 2 hours of electricity a day for people in Kiev. But it's also important to recognize that while Russia has been striking these energy infrastructure for a month or so now, Ukraine has been hitting civil infrastructure here in Donbass, where I am, intermittently for the last 8 years, and particularly since February this year when Russia invaded. Just last night at about 11:30, the whistle of missiles flew over my apartment and hit a passport office in the center of Donetsk. Ukraine has been trying to, it's been hitting hospitals, schools, water, electricity in Donbass for many years, particularly over recent months. So frankly, both sides are trying to hit and are succeeding in hitting civil infrastructure. And the only way that both sides are going to stop hitting energy infrastructure is for there to be peace negotiations. But there doesn't seem to be any appetite for that at the moment.
Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is set to testify at a public inquiry later in the day. He will defend his government's use of wartime measures to clear out trucker protests earlier this year. Trudeau has been facing strong criticism over the use of emergency powers to end the protests in the capital, Ottawa, in February. Over the past week, truckers from across Canada were present in the city rejecting mandatory COVID vaccines. Solidarity rallies took place, too, with the protesters demanding an expansion to the anti-establishment agenda. The truckers led the protests and brought Ottawa to a standstill and disrupted trade. Trudeau's Friday testimony will close out Canada's Public Order Emergency Commission hearings, ongoing for the past weeks. Trudeau has previously said that he invoked the rarely used emergency powers to end what he called dangerous and unlawful activities. Opponents reject that. That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
A substantial body of scholarship emerging over decades links U.S. media coverage of international affairs to foreign policy objectives. This is bothersome because it not only brings into question the supposed independence of the media as an institution, which is a basic expectation in a democracy, but also because people depend primarily upon the media for learning and forming opinions about international affairs. According to a study, in a span of 10 years of news coverage of the U.S.-led economic sanctions against three adversaries, namely Iran, North Korea, and Venezuela, in major U.S. print and broadcast media, the coverage not only served the interests of the power elite, consistent of the country's political, corporate, and military brass, but also reinforced the legitimacy of U.S. hegemony in global politics. Meanwhile, in an attack on press freedom and alternative media, the U.S. government on November 16th imposed sanctions on top officials of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcaster, including the organization chief and head of the Press TV. Media analysts believe that the latest U.S. sanctions on Iranian media outlets and senior IRIB officials is due to the fact that the White House has failed in its project to topple Iran's government and install a subservient state in its place. For a deeper investigation of this claim, stay with us on this edition of Iran Today. based on international standards, freedom of the press and expression and communication through published media, like in print and video, is a right. Accordingly, a government should not interfere with this freedom or censor any form of media that's critical of world powers. For years, freedom of the press has been an essential part of democracy. In a democratic global environment, people have the right to choose their source of information, and the existence of alternative media matters because an independent media has the ability to express the voice of the marginalized parts of the world.
The role of media as a communicative element within human society has an undeniable function and place. In other words, we have arrived at what we call the global village. This means that communication has become so easy that to pass an idea, opinion, or a vote, and even to have an impact or be affected, we need a very short period of time. The media is doing this major function of human communication, an exchange of views, messages, or even values very easily. Therefore, the role of media is undeniable, and in relation with linking the international communities together, or even diplomatic relations, is a significant role. In other words, if in the past communication was taking place through special networks or between diplomatic operators and the headquarters or vice versa, today many subjects in the realm of international relations and transfer of political views are easily taking place through the media. Additionally, the media are expressive of ethnic views, government views, and transfer of values. In this sense, the role of media is naturally a very significant role.
There are many issues, often very complicated ones, that journalists are trained to analyze and explain. Most people lack the time and resources to investigate issues and stories that affect them and their communities. That's where alternative media can play a role. Armed with expert research and critical thinking, the free press knows what questions to ask, what leads to pursue, and how to fact-check. Fact-checking is a vital element of any reliable media. If the press is not able to fact-check effectively and independently, the truth remains buried.
Sanctions are one of the most important tools of the West. They use sanctions in different ways, including the economic means. If they feel that their interests or the dominant narrative that they think the mainstream media is promoting for any country are being jeopardized, they will quickly block that path. The same thing happened with Press TV. This is not unprecedented. We had experience before. They had tried to remove this media from the satellites, but this time it was much more severe, to the point where the names of the people were mentioned.
According to media experts, IRIB's World Service in general and Press TV in particular has played a remarkable role as the counterweight to Western propagandist media for years, demolishing and debunking their lopsided and unfair coverage of Iran and the West Asian region. Press TV continues to challenge Western narratives and provide cutting-edge journalism based on fairness and alternative news.
Illustration and narration of world events are based on theory of pluralism. This is a fact. So the media world is dominated by a monologue. When something happens anywhere in the world, most media narrations of the event are similar. If these narrations are based on reality, there is no problem. But if you make a case study and investigate the issues, you find out that the narrations are sometimes very far away from reality. In this situation, we see the emergence of some media that offer a different narration and try to provide a narration which is close to reality. I stress that they try to do so, because it's almost impossible for any media outlet to absolutely reflect the reality.
The news network continues to operate full-time in spite of any array of direct and indirect U.S. sanctions and their economic impact. In recent years, Press TV has been working around a limited budget with an objective of encouraging free-thinking intellectuals to cast a critical eye on the beautifully packaged but purposefully slanted news that mainstream Western media churn out by the hour, and to proactively express the voice of the voiceless and make it available to others as much as possible. A case in point is the coverage of the Palestinian resistance over the years. Press TV's steadfastness in support of the oppressed Palestinian nation against expansionist policies of the apartheid Israeli regime is one of the main causes of the Western sanctions against it.
Personally, I have seen a lot of reports that Press TV publishes, for example, about the issue of Palestine or issues that are less covered by the mainstream media. And these have been very popular on social networks and even on user accounts. The videos and infographics made by Press TV were used there by regular users. This shows that it has been influential in various fields. In the recent unrest in Iran, there have been a series of revelations. For example, Press TV showed that the image the opposition media was broadcasting was fake. The real image was something else, or that there was a video overlaid with sounds from something else. The audio was fake. The series of these revelations have played a role in making public opinion understand that even if it doesn't completely agree with you, there is doubt in everything that the mainstream media is publishing. It is important to be skeptical of the mainstream media narrative.
Produced in studios located in key global news centers, including Tehran and London, Press TV's programs with alternative content provide viewers with an in-depth and critical look at what's happening in the world, highlighting issues that often go unreported by the Western media. Despite restrictions, Press TV has also been active publishing its content on diverse social media platforms, including YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram round the clock. Moreover, Press TV distributes its content on its own IPTV called Your Medium, after it was repeatedly targeted by the act of censorship by the US tech giant Google's YouTube service.
Well, I think this is an indication that the work of this network has been effective in their view. It's been able to attract the attention of a group of elites who did not agree with the mainstream media. Press TV found audiences, especially in social networks. Accounts of this network have been closed several times whenever the number of audience increases. They do this with various tools they can get their hands on.
In addition to the US sanctions, the European Union has neglected all global regulations and also imposed sanctions on the Iranian English language TV network under the pretext of backing democracy and human rights, while freedom of press is the fourth pillar of democracy.
With the kinds of U.S. government's illegal and unilateral sanctions against the Islamic Republic, if a media network is able to shed light on this situation, this naturally worries them. The U.S. and some European countries talk about free speech and free flow of information. They talk about exchange of ideas. They say that nations should be able to freely express their views. If you look at any of these issues, the U.S. sanctions on Press TV undermines every one of them.
The action by the EU indicates a double standard in dealing with the media outlets when it comes to the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Western states claim that they are the flag bearer of supporting freedom of speech and human rights as they embark on imposing sanctions on a TV network.
They want to shut down the voice of this media. What does this mean? They are worried that this voice is being heard. If this voice was not effective or was not reasonable, naturally it shouldn't have created fear in them. American media cartels are very strong and proportionate to the economic power of the U.S. They are doing their work. Why are they worried about such an unequal encounter? The viewpoint that is being expressed through Press TV is stronger than its U.S. counterparts. It is effective once it reaches its audiences. I believe the U.S. attempt is an act to silence a voice that is effective because it is reasonable and based on inhumane values. So it must get cut out of the American view.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
The paradox is unacceptable and unreasonable, but the international institutes, which are backing freedom of the press, have shown no reaction in this respect because they themselves are under the supervision and domination of certain European countries, according to alternative media experts.
Using the media as a diplomacy tool is experiencing a challenging period. The reason is that the audience or the public opinion doesn't feel good about media independence to the ruling system. For example, if CNN viewers are told that the channel belongs to the White House, they no longer watch it. If the audience feel that Al Alam, a new channel, belongs to Iran's government, they won't watch it again. That will be the same regarding Al Arabiya, Al Jazeera, and other news channels. Therefore, today, the media that have at least some levels of independence succeed in having an impact on the audience. I say relative independence because no media have absolute independence. It's not feasible. It's a dream. All media have levels of dependence to their owners and policymakers.
There is plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media. Here is how it looks on the page. Elon Musk allows Donald Trump back on Twitter. Former President Donald Trump's Twitter account has been reinstated under the social media company's owner, billionaire Elon Musk. Musk polled Twitter users on Friday and Saturday asking them whether Trump should be reinstated, and a narrow majority voted for Trump. On Saturday evening, Musk tweeted, "The people have spoken. Trump will be reinstated." Vox Populi, Vox Dei. The Latin phrase means the voice of the people is the voice of God. Twitter was the first platform to ban Trump after his supporters breached the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, saying his tweets broke its rules against glorifying violence. That move was quickly followed by similar ones from Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat, Twitch, and other internet companies. BBC says, is this really the end of Twitter? Twitter today is awash with people saying goodbye. The hashtag #RestInPeaceTwitter is trending, and lots of the site's users are scrambling to download their data. They're also sharing alternative places to find them. Consumer champion Martin Lewis, who has 2 million Twitter followers, has set himself up on Mastodon, although he admits he doesn't know how to use it yet. Twitter's new boss Elon Musk, never one to ignore a trend, tweeted a meme of a gravestone with a Twitter logo on it. Tasnim News says, exclusive. Members of anti-Iran Saudi-funded TV channel banned from leaving UK. An informed security source told the Tasnim news agency that the British government has prohibited all of the staff members of the Iran International TV channel, also known as Saudi International in Iran, from leaving the country until further notice after some of them sent cooperation requests to work with Iranian intelligence agencies. Following Iran's declaration of the network as a terrorist organization, the managers of the Saudi-owned TV opposed a typical movement of its personnel outside the UK and expressed concern that some of them may return to Iran. Citing one of the people involved in the network, who is adamantly pursuing to return to Iran and end his career in the Saudi-owned terrorist-supporting channel, an informed security source revealed in a report by the Dideban Strategic Institute that the employees of the network can neither for the World Cup nor spending holidays leave the UK until further notice, because the British security services are worried that the return of the network staff to Tehran will further tear the anti-Iran channel apart. Meanwhile, it appears that the US administration's sanctions frenzy has gone viral and is quickly spreading to its friends. A few days ago, the government of Canada has imposed sanctions on a wide range of Iranian institutions and persons, including the Press TV, over alleged rights violations following the recent foreign-backed riots in the country. As a response in a statement, the IRIB chief, Payman Jabeli, condemned sanctions on Press TV, saying this is not the first time the West has acted against its own claims of being the defender of the freedom of speech and expression.
International unions and international NGOs are amongst those that can play a role in restoring the rights of Press TV. In order to restore Press TV's rights, we should avoid relying merely on governmental mechanisms and entering direct quarrels with the companies that have switched off Press TV satellite broadcastings. If we do that, we'll lose our audience. Imagine that we spent 3 years negotiating with one of those companies in order to get back on Sky Satellite. There is no benefit in doing so, and we'll only lose time. I think the solution is to circumvent official channels. Today, the world and communities do have such a potential.
The head of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting noted that Press TV is competing in an unequal arena compared to other networks which enjoy considerable support of Western governments. He emphasized that the latest sanctions indicate that the West is unable to tolerate Press TV's minimal presence.
Freedom of expression has become clear, at least in recent years, especially after the account of the former president of the United States was closed. Those who doubted whether there really are double standards, but have now come to the certainty that there is a double standard. Anyway, whenever they feel that your narrative is dangerous for mainstream media, they will stop it. The issue of Palestine is the most obvious example. In recent months, in all these Iran cases, they tried to ensure that all followers followed that mainstream narrative and only that would be published. And anything contrary to it that threatens stability should be suppressed.
Experts believe that sanctions imposed on Press TV by the US, the European Union, and earlier by the government of Canada are aimed at muzzling free speech and alternative views. They have also highlighted the role played by Press TV during the recent unrest in Iran, as the news channel made a great effort to counter fake narratives fostered by Western media concerning Iran's rights.
In order to evaluate this action, we have to find out for what crime they sanction a media. First of all, sanctions in recent years have gradually become a tool of foreign policy and hegemonic demands of the U.S. government and some Western European allies of the United States. The sanction tools are used when reasoning has failed, when peaceful tools for achieving goals don't exist. Sanctions are seen in the same light as wars and military efforts. But it gets shaped in a soft package. When does a war effort take place? In general, war attempts by the powers happen when achieving political purposes has failed by soft war. Therefore, they utilize coercive power. Depending on sanctions, to shut down a media outlet is a kind of coercive effort. A coercive effort that functions outside of international laws, exactly like the unilaterally military attempts by the U.S. outside of the U.N., Security Council criteria against governments, nations, and even individuals.
In addition to the mentioned media-related illegal sanctions, Google blocked Press TV access to their Gmail and YouTube back in April 2019. Although the latter remained active, no new content could be added. YouTube removed Press TV UK from its platform in January 2020. Press TV accused Google, which owns YouTube, of censorship. In April 2019, Press TV reported that Google blocked their access along with Hispan TV without prior notice, citing violation of policies, and that they received a message saying your Google account was disabled and can't be restored because it was used in a way that violates Google's policies. Although their YouTube channels remain open, no new content can be published. Press TV claimed that Google has refused to offer an explanation for shutting down the accounts and that they have not violated any of Google's listed policies.
As I said before, such an incident shows that the media outlet has had its influence and has been successful to some extent. But I have a reservation. This shouldn't be a justification for the TV channel to engage in costly and low-benefit challenges. If there is much at stake, there is no problem to fight for it. You present a just argument, broadcast a special documentary, and reveal a hidden reality. In this situation, it's worth paying the price. But you need to act more cleverly to prevent the enemies of Press TV from joining hands. In the world of media, we have sometimes paid heavy prices for a low-benefit measure. After reviewing Press TV's function over the past years, I recommend that we shouldn't give any excuses to those who block freedom of expression.
On June 22, 2021, the PressTV.com domain was seized from a company based in the United States by the United States Department of Justice, shutting down PressTV's website and the websites of other Iranian media outlets. The Department of Justice justified their act by stating that these sites were sources of Iranian-linked disinformation and that proper licensing had not been acquired from the Office of Foreign Assets Control for the use of the domains. Soon thereafter, PressTV changed the domain name for its website to use the .ir top-level domain and was back online.
The fact is that when we talk about the effectiveness of sanctions, we must pay attention that when we say sanctions are not effective, it means that the primary goals of that country have not been achieved. It does not mean that it has no effect on the subject country's economy, but about the recent sanctions, the main goal that they indirectly have mentioned in their various talks was the goal of overthrowing the government, but this was not achieved and did not work, or even forced the Islamic Republic to sit at the negotiation table and give them points. Well, this has not been achieved either. But at the same time, the only effect it has had is that the common people are feeling the pressure, which is against all human rights discussions.
However, while the U.S. Justice Department statement is a bit vague, it does not appear that this seizure was the result of any content on Press TV itself. As a result of these efforts, Iranian officials have reached the conclusion that the psychological warfare against international networks of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, IRIB, proves that these media outlets have been successful in conveying the message of the Islamic Revolution to the world public. Also, Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian once again strongly rejected and condemned the recent sanctions targeting Iranian individuals and entities, saying they were baseless accusations that constitute a clear example of interference in Iran's domestic affairs.
The next point is that based on what committed crime sanctions are being used, did Press TV make any dissemination of inhumane values? Do the viewpoints it's expressing are interactive of human values in international community? Did it encourage violence? Did it condone terrorism? Did it violate the global order of public values? Whichever of these items we look at, we notice that there was no such a thing. So we can say this is like the unilateral coercive military actions of the U.S. against independent governments. It is against organizations that have acted the opposite of the U.S. This is how I view Press TV sanctions.
In 2009, Mehdi Hassan, writing for the New Statesman, argued that engaging with Iran, no matter who is in charge in Tehran, is a prerequisite for peace and progress in the region. The very fact that Press TV is Iranian-owned makes it the ideal English-language platform on which to do so. That's all for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do tune in again at the same time next week and each week after. Bye for now. ربنا
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at supplication number 8 of الصحيفة السجادية for الإمام علي بن الحسين عليه سلام الله. We go to the part where the Imam Salamullah alayhi asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek refuge in him from ghafla or heedlessness. Now, we spoke about ghafla in a number of episodes. Now, there's just one more thing left I would like to go through with you, and that is the concept of ghafla or heedlessness in the Holy Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned ghafla or ghafilun or ghafilin in many verses. So let's look at them just so you can have a more comprehensive idea. And inshallah, if you want to expand on that search yourself, you can. So the word ghafla came in the Quran about 35 times and with different forms and formats. In the past tense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the word ghafla 18 times. For example, Allah says, وَلَا تَطَعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. Do not follow those whom their hearts have become heedless of our remembrance, and they follow their own desires. So we find this in chapter Al-Kahf in verse 28. In the present tense, it was mentioned once. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, in the Holy Quran, He is very precise. If He uses words in the past tense or the present tense, it has a certain meaning. It never the same. Okay, so also keep that in mind. And Allah says, وَدَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those who have committed kufr or became infidels. لَوْ تَغْفِلُونَ. If you become heedless, an aslihatikum wa amti'atikum, that you might become heedless from your weapons and your belongings, fayamiluna alaykum maylatan wahida. So then they will come to you with one strike. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter An-Nisa in verse 102, He talks about, He says, do not be in the state of ghafla in the present tense. Let us take a short break and then we will continue.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So Allah said in chapter An-Nisa in verse 102, don't become ghafil, don't become heedless in the present tense. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the form of an act, the person who commits the act. And that came in the Quran 28 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. That Allah, He Himself, is not heedless of what you do. Also, there's an indication in that for me and you, that you might be a ghafil, Allah says, but I am not. If you want to do whatever you want to do because you feel like it, it does not mean that I am not watching or I'm heedless of you. Because there is this theory, this concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation and He left. No. Allah says no such a thing. You might be unaware yourself and, you know, in a world of your own, but we are constantly watching you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about ghafla in its purest form. He says, اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. So ghafla, it is not a present tense, it's not a past tense, it's not a, you know, an act, it's just as it is. And he says in chapter Al-Anbiya, he begins with that verse, verse 1, that Allah says, people, their punishment and their questioning and the day of reckoning and death and everything is so close to them, yet they are absolutely heedless, which is a problem. So Allah is trying to say to us, wake up before it's too late. Now, again, let us quickly take a short break and then we will continue.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. Now we're talking about ghafla in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when he talks about ghafla, he says that, or he kind of pushes away and refutes the argument that he, God forbid, might be in the state of ghafla. So Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ وَعَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't think for one second that Allah, God forbid, is heedless or unaware of what the transgressors and oppressors are doing. Because sometimes, me and you, we can associate Allah and ghafla together without being aware, like subconsciously. When I see so much dhulm is happening, so much oppression is happening, so many people getting hurt, getting killed, and I say, well, why is this happening? Why isn't Allah doing anything about it? That itself is thinking that Allah is ghafil wal iyadu billah, that Allah is unaware and heedless. Because even though you have not said the words literally, but this is exactly what we mean, when we start to complain about things and we say, why isn't Allah doing anything about it? Why isn't this happening? Or why is this happening? So we have to be very careful. We don't associate, because Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ حُسْبَان, is when a thought goes through your head. So he's saying, obviously he's not saying that you will submit and you will say, yes, Allah, وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, is unaware, or this and that, but just a thought that might come in your head and it might give the same meaning as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware. Allah repeats the same verse in chapter Al-Baqarah in verse 140. He says, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And he makes it an emphasis. He says, indeed, Allah is not in the state of heedlessness from what you guys are doing. So one time he says, don't think. And one, he completely eradicate that concept of ghafla to himself. He says Allah is anything but a ghafil, that he is heedless or unaware of his creation. So constantly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware and he's constantly watching us. So it is worth a while that we look at these verses and check him out. We will continue in other episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio.